Thank you for that, Eric. We're going to be in chapter 5 again. Before that, I was just thinking, and that doesn't happen very often, by the way, as they were talking up here about the building and how the building has touched lives and it's made a difference in different individuals' lives, you have to think past just what we see on Sundays and on Thursdays. Think of our missionaries. Think of those we sent into Laos, in Thailand, and in Cambodia. You know, that started here. That started with some of those that were reached here. We were looking at the, I was in the Spanish ministry last night, and we did a little PowerPoint heritage thing with them. And for them, it was really unique, because they had never even heard half of that stuff. And we saw a baptism where you were getting baptized. Joseph, were you five? And Brother Tongdi, sitting right there next to the baptistry, that was the old days, reached on a basketball court, and then others that were reached, the Vongs and their families, and so needy, and really all of them. Think of those bus kids. Where would bus kids be? And by the way, you know, when you have a bus ministry, it's a little transient at times. People move in and out, but they're all over the place. And if they got saved, they're saved, and we don't know what they're doing. I heard a story of somebody that was here, a family member of somebody, I forget who it was, and they moved to Chicago, and they're in church and serving God in Chicago, and we didn't even know about that. We've had several that have been reached, and they moved. I remember probably about 10 years ago, I teach in the college, and I taught at that time personal evangelism, and we're talking about giving your testimony and salvation, so I always give them an assignment. Say, your assignment, go home, and you have to write out your salvation testimony. Be specific. Tell us all about it. And there was a girl in our college, she wasn't even from our church, and as she turned it in, I read her salvation testimony. She got saved through one of our bus routes back when we were a Cambodian Baptist church on Anaheim. I didn't even know that. And so church has an impact, and we have an impact in places that we don't even know, and with people we won't even really realize until we get to heaven. And so our giving is very, very important, and it'll do a lot. We are in the chapter 5 on fellow disciples. I forgot what page we left off on. We were going through the one another's. By way of review, very briefly, of course, the two greatest commands in the Bible are to love first and foremost God. Let's try that again. To love. And then who else are we to love? Others, but what's a Bible word?
Neighbor.
And how are we supposed to love them? That's the tough part right there. We're supposed to love them. Yeah, we love ourselves. That's a little bit, that's like, okay, it's one thing to love somebody, but put restrictions on it, you know? That just shows the depth to which we're supposed to love people. And we're looking, if we're supposed to have a relationship with fellow Christians, our fellow disciples, we looked at some of the verses about one another. Last week, we looked at the fact that we are to love one another. That's a no-brainer. We are to prefer one another. We are to admonish one another. And we are to serve one another. Let's step up and go to the next one. Here we go. Ready? We are to build one another. We are to build one another. The word in the Bible for build is the word edify. Edify means to build up. It's right there in your book. Edify means to build up. Like a master builder builds a structure, so Christians are to build each other up. That's to strengthen. By the way, when we talk about, you know, discipleship and what we're doing and the fact that we want new converts to get grounded in the Word of God, what we're trying to do is edify them. We're trying to build them up. Whenever we're in a church service and we hear our Sunday school class and we hear preaching or teaching or preaching, we're trying to build you up in the faith. That's what God wants us to do. But let's put it on a practical level, shall we? Sometimes people just need encouragement.
Yep.
They need to be built up personally. Maybe they're going through a hard time. Maybe they're facing something in their life and they need someone in some way to build them up. It's very easy. Sometimes it's just sharing a scripture with somebody. Sometimes it's just a word of encouragement in a text. You know, someone's going through a hard time or something's going on in their life, and you just pull out your phone. By the way, it's not hard. You're on your phone a lot of the times, right? You know how it is. You walk into your living room and your family's there. It's like, oh, wait, let me go get my phone and I'll hang out with you, okay? Use it also to send an encouragement. Hey, something. This has happened today. I'm praying for you. Or you know, you did this and thank you for that. Maybe it's a word of encouragement through prayer. By the way, if someone asks you to pray for them, write it down so that you don't forget, okay? And I'm sure, and I'm probably ashamed to say, I've forgotten in the past. I try to remember. Maybe it's a word of encouragement to growth. But everybody needs someone to help them. I was reading this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And talking about the Corinthian church that had a bunch of different issues. And one of the issues they had was with spiritual gifts. And they were kind of out of control. But a couple of the verses I read there, and kind of trying to get them back on track for why they're a church, why they meet together, and why they're actually having church. And this isn't in your book, but in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, but he that prophesieth, he was comparing prophesieth to tongues, which is not the garbage you see on television, speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. The goal is to build people up. And then in verse 12 of chapter 14, he says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, they were all into spiritual gifts, and he just puts it in a nutshell, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Even as he was speaking to them about their spiritual gifts, he said, you know, you're all caught up in this. Use this to excel in this one area, edifying the church. You see, they had a false view of their spiritual gifts, and they were not using them to build people up. And Paul's making the point is that's why God gifted you in the first place to be a part of the church and to build people up. By the way, that's what service is in a sense. And we have a whole chapter on serving. But it's building up people in the church, encouraging them. By the way, I think it's in your book, it is very easy to tear down. Anybody can do that, right? Anybody. There come those moments in life where you can say something. By the way, have you ever seen, they're kind of cool, you ever seen these things where they'll do a demolition of a building, like some big tall building or an old stadium that's not being used? Man, they put all the dynamite strategically, and here's a stadium that took years and years to build, and then they start pushing some buttons, and with 15 seconds, it's on the ground. It's done. It's tore down. All those years of building, and all it takes is a few seconds to tear somebody down. By the way, sometimes we want to tear people down when we shouldn't. I've been guilty of that. I'll never forget when I was a newlywed, I came home from work one night, and my wife wasn't there. I knew she was at the store, and so she was probably coming home from the store for a while. She worked part-time at the store where Brother Grandy was. We only had one car. And so I'm like, she's not home. And so the guy that I carpool with said, well, let's, you know, it's just around the corner. Let's take the little route and see where it is. And so as we pulled up on one of the gas station corners, I saw my wife, and she was in the car. She was in an accident. And it wasn't anything serious, but she pulled in front of a car, and it hit her. And so I pull up, and I get out. The police officer, I think you were sitting in the police car. You weren't trying to get you in the car. She was used to that. You know how it is. They're always profiling her. So she's sitting in the car, and then the policeman shows up. Someone had given us the car. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't really do a lot with it. It wasn't the best car in the world. When someone gives you a car, that should tell you something. The police officer comes out, and he has his hands over there, and he's like, he goes, can you answer a question for me? I'm like, sure. We lived in Indiana, by the way. He says, how come you're driving a car with an Indiana license, a Maine registration, and your wife has a Washington driver's license? And I'm like, I don't know. But it was either him or the guy I carpooled with when we pulled up and he saw it. I think it was the guy I carpooled with. He goes, look. He goes, you're probably not happy. I could tell no one was hurt. Like, why would she pull in front of somebody? That's what I'm thinking. He goes, you know what? Your wife doesn't need you. He wasn't even married. He goes, your wife doesn't need you to say the wrong thing right now. He goes, just be kind and encourage her. So I thought, okay, that was kind of easy. She was in the back of the police car anyhow, so, you know. She didn't need me to say, why did you do that? By the way, say, have you ever done something like that? Let's move on. I have. But sometimes I've actually got it right. That time when you can say something that would tear them down and they don't need that and say the right thing. It's very hard. When people are down, they don't need to be pushed farther down. They need to be built up. I always say when I'm talking to people or someone that had an issue and they want help, it's like, you don't need a history lesson. The history's past. What you need is to talk about the future and go forward. And sometimes we just want to tear people down, and let's not do that. One of the primary ways we tear people down is with, you want me to take a shot at it? Thank you. Absolutely right. Our words. It is so easy. That's why the Bible tells us in James that you know, if you want to be a mature Christian, learn how to control your tongue. Now, he also tells us you're never going to be able to completely do that, but that's our goal. It is just so easy to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. It is. Hurtful words spoken to people. Critical words spoken to people. Sometimes we think we're the spiritual police, and we're not. What does God think about that? It's not in your book, but you should jot these verses down. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19. We call this God's hate list. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Abomination means to hate intensely. Okay, here they are. You ready? A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Do you know three of those are directly related to how we use our tongue? Yeah. And so we have a choice how we use our words. In your book again, what the church needs today are those who will build others up by encouraging them to grow in Christian principles. Now look. There are times, depending on a person's spirit or how you're trying to get their attention, they need you to be firm and all that. I get it. But you know, sometimes there's times where they just need an encouragement. They just need a pat on the back. And we always want to blow people up because that's easier. You say something, you blow them up, they crawl away, and it's over with. It takes a little more effort to encourage somebody, to sit there and help them. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Proverbs again, it's not in your book. A word fitly spoken is like apple of gold and pitchers of silver. Let me say this. If you know someone who's naturally bubbly or encouraging, you remember them. And you like being around them. You just do. And that's what a good word can do. Here's one, Proverbs. This ought to scare all of us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, think about that. That's really heavy. What we say has the power to tear someone down for a long, long, long time. It can even start the death sentence to their spiritual life, or it can give them life. Our word, you know, sometimes we say things and like, well, you know, and we excuse ourselves, and we've all done it, and we shouldn't, but some people do it more than others. Well, I just say what I say, and I'll just come back later. So, well, I just said that because I was mad. Doesn't mean it still doesn't hurt. Yep. You wouldn't pick up a baseball bat when you're mad and bash them over the head, and then later on say, well, you know, come on, I was just mad at the time. I really didn't mean it. They still have a headache. It still hurts. And we don't think of words like that, but Proverbs makes it very clear that our words are like that. Think of your words like this before we move on. Think of your words like a knife. Now, a knife is, what's the term? Amoral? A knife's neither good nor bad. You put the knife in the hand of a skilled surgeon, it is very helpful and he can save lives. You put a knife in the hand of a violent individual, and it can wreak havoc and even cause death. The problem isn't the knife. The problem is how you use it. And the problem isn't necessarily our words or our tongue. Our problem is how do we use it? We should look for opportunities to encourage one another. Why? So we can build each other up. By the way, aren't we brothers and sisters in Christ? Aren't we on the same team? Someone has said, you know, the Christian army is the only army that kills its wounded. And I don't know if there's a lot of truth to that, but I think there is some. Next, we are to comfort one another. Comfort one another. Many times, when someone is going through a difficulty, all they need is someone to listen with understanding and give a word of encouragement. You know, I remember years ago, when I was in Bible college, I worked third shift and I made a mistake. I volunteered. We had bus divisions and we had 7 or 8 bus routes in our division, and our route was in another state from the church. My route was the far north side of Chicago, 50 minutes from the church, 45 minutes from the church. And I volunteered. He needed someone to run the vacation Bible school bus just to handle it. It was Brother Ray, not your dad, my division leader at the time. And I knew my work schedule was a little bit crazy. I didn't want to volunteer, but no one else did. So I'm like, fine, I'll do it. And but I didn't realize what it took. I'd get off work and go straight to pick up at 6 in the morning and pick up for vacation Bible school. By the time we went there, dropped it off, went and dropped the bus, I got back to my dorm about 7 o'clock at night. And I had to leave for work at 9. And I did that for a week. Now, it was exciting the first 3 days. The last 2 days, you know, like sometimes you're somewhere and it's like night and you hear a, you know what I'm talking about, that feeling? I felt like that the last 2 days. And I was dead. I was Friday, I was actually starting to fall asleep standing up. I made up for it on Saturday though. But I remember I went to work and one of my buddies from one of the Christian guys at work, and he wasn't even like this, but I went to clock in. And there was a little paper there, and he had just wrote a really kind note. He said, hey, I know you're having a tough week this week, you're blah, 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 you're doing, keep going for the Lord and all that. And by the way, that was energizing. That was encouraging. Do you know, we don't think things like that are, but you drop a little note to somebody, it's a big deal. Yeah. To us, it may not seem like a big deal, but it might be just what they needed at that particular time. So, a word of encouragement. When we see people sometimes, we tend to want to solve their problem or look in the past and tell them what they did wrong. Oh, by the way, husbands, that's a really bad idea. Okay? Learn the lesson. See, here's how guys are. Not me, you guys. Your wife starts talking, oh, this is going on. And in my mind, I'm like, I got a 5-point outline. We got this covered. You know, do this, 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 and this. Everything will be good. Let's pray. That doesn't work. People want you to listen. The best marriage video I think I've ever seen, how many of you remember the little video we showed? We got to show it again. It's not about the nail. How many of you remember that? The lady that has a nail on her forehead, and she's telling her husband that all of her blouses are ripping, and she's got a headache, and he's like, you know, you got a nail in your head. And she's like, you're always trying to fix me. Sometimes people, by the way, that doesn't work either. Sometimes people just need you just listen to them. Be an encouragement. The next one. We don't have to always have the perfect words to say. But we can always be there to hear what's being said with an encouraging ear. Can't you? How hard is that? Just to talk. Let's listen. 1 Thessalonians says, 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now look, right now I'm in the middle of Job. I'm not the beginning part of Job. And Job's friends, I don't know if this is appropriate, they were real losers. Yeah, you know, Job. But can I just tell you something? The first week, they were spot on. They were the best form of comfort anybody could ever have. You know why? They didn't say a word. The Bible says the first week they just sat there with Job just to be there for support. And then when they opened their mouth, it went south. You know, sometimes that's, you ever realize you don't know what to say? We had a, my wife will remember this, we had a family on my bus route. Well, my wife, we got engaged, she started working my bus route when we were in Bible college. And I dropped her and another lady off, and they would get their kids in that area ready to save time. And we had a family, the Pasco family. And the mother and five daughters came. And they came every week. They stayed all day. The dad would never come. We didn't want to have anything to do with church. Every time I'd go see him, he goes, "Brother Steve, how's the church business?" Greek guy. Nice guy. So I pull up. That was the last stop before we go to church. I pull up. My wife would come out of their house, and she'd have her group of kids. And my wife came out, and this is not easy for her. She was like pale. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And she's like, "You know, Mr. Pasco died yesterday." And I had been talking to him. Me and another guy were talking to him, and he had to leave for work. And 30 minutes after we said goodbye to him, he dropped dead of a heart attack. Now, here I am, bus captain, spiritual leader for them. I didn't know what to say. I'd never faced that. And I went in there, and I sat down at the coffee table. I sat down at her kitchen table. And I'll be honest with you, I probably didn't say much. I just listened to her. Now, I wish I could have said something spiritual and pastoral to encourage her. I didn't know. I was a 20-year-old kid, clueless, 21. But you know what? I could sit there and just listen to her. And sometimes that's just what people need. There are so many benefits as we move on to being a part of a great church and being in fellowship with its members. How much do we miss out on when we keep ourselves away? Now, we start a little bit late. Give me about 5 to 7 minutes, and let's go through this next section very quickly here if I can. Our relationship with an adult Bible class. Now, for us, one of the best ways for a person coming in to get friends and to start connecting with people in a friend manner is through our adult Bible classes. That's one of the reasons we have them. All of the things that God asks us to do in Scripture for one another can only be done in the context of relationships. It's hard to go up to somebody you don't know and help them. Relationships are built and strengthened in the church through fellowship. Yes, we are to treat everybody in the world the way God would want us to, but it is very important that we treat our fellow Christians right. Our fellow Christians right. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we therefore have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the house of the faith." In other words, we're supposed to be good to everybody. But you know what? We're especially supposed to be good to those who are saved as well as we are. To those that are part of our spiritual family. Amen. Sometimes we try to violate this by just not noticing people's needs. And by the way, that's easy, isn't it? We don't want to do that. The best way we have found to help people to start that process in the church is to become a faithful member of your adult Bible class. So let me give you some thoughts with that, if I may. First, connect with an adult Bible class. Connect with an adult Bible class. We have many different adult Bible classes that cater to different groups. All of our classes have a different flavor. It may be the class that you were invited to, one that your friends attend, or that has people that you feel comfortable with. We feel very strongly that you need to be part of an adult Sunday school class. By the way, we have found that over the years that if someone who comes regularly to church doesn't get into an adult Bible class and start attending, typically they don't come. I think I know 2 people in all the time I've been here that have not really been part of an adult Bible class that stayed for years. Everybody else, because they don't have any friends. They don't know anybody. Next, commit to faithfully attend each Sunday. That's a no-brainer, right? Once you know what class you're going to, the next step is to commit to faithfully attend. In most churches, it will be hard to get to know everybody. The best place to start meeting people is in the adult class that you attend. By the way, it's not the church service. The church service, you know, you're coming in, everybody's coming in from the classes, and you get into the service, you sit down, service starts. After the service is done, you'll talk to people. Don't get me wrong, but everybody's funneling out. The way our building is right now without the nursery hallway, everybody funnels out primarily through that door there, and it's a little crowded. So it's kind of hard. Come early each week and spend some time fellowshipping with those in your class. Yes. You will meet people from different walks of life. Yet, striving to live the kind of Christian life you desire to have. By the way, if COVID taught us one thing, is you can be here by 9:30.
Yeah. Amen.
You can. Our church service from 9:30 to 10:30, and you did a really good job of being here.
Yeah.
By the way, if you struggle with that, let me just ask you. Most people have already worked for several hours by 9:30 Monday through Friday, so we can get here, I'm pretty sure. It has been said, most people who attend a church will initially come back because the church is friendly. By the way, that's why it's important to be friendly to people. Hello, hi, how are you doing? A new person shouldn't be talking alone. They're coming back, they're checking out the church. Not so much just the teaching and the singing, although that's important, that's all important. But also, they could come to a church and love everything, but if nobody notices them, if no one says hi to them, if no one's friendly to them, they're probably not going to come back. What if you went to a restaurant and they were mean to you? Even if the food's good, you typically don't go back. It's nice to get past the hi, how are you doing phase to where people really know you and are interested in what's going on in your life and how they can be of help. These types of friendships and fellowships rarely take place for people who are not faithful to their adult Bible class. Next, class activities are a great way to be encouraged and to encourage others. Okay, if your class does something special, go. You know, hang out with them. You get to talk to people in a more casual setting and you get to know one another. By the way, that's somebody you know that later on, if you have a prayer request, they're going to pray a little more intently for you because they know you. And they know what's going on. They know what's going on. You've explained their life. It's someone that you just need a word of encouragement. You can call them. Very important. Class activity. All of our Bible classes occasionally have fellowships and class activities. These are times to just get away and enjoy spending time with one another. It is also a great way to get to know people in a different setting than at a church or class time. And I've given my testimony. When I was going to church, I was really high school age, but I was out of high school. I wasn't really college and career age. So I just went into the pastor's adult class, and I didn't really know anybody. But I was thinking, this came back to my mind. I remember one time about 6 months in, after Sunday night church, the singles had what they call an afterglow. It's just some type of food or quick activity after Sunday night church. And somebody there saw me and said, hey, you're about that age. Why don't you come to our afterglow? And by the way, I didn't know these people. Because I knew them here and there, but I didn't really hang with them. And I remember we went, it was Brother Montgomery, it was somewhere by where you lived up there, somebody's house. It was up in that area. And I went there and we went to the house and we had a fellowship and I just hung out and I got to know several of the people. The next night we were going to San Diego. There was a preaching engagement at a church down in San Diego, and I was thinking of going. And a couple of them say, "Hey, have you thought about going?" I say, "Yeah, I was going to go to that thing." They're like, "Just come with us." So it helped me to get to meet people my own age.
Amen.
Next, care for your class by inviting others and praying for its members. Praying for its members. These are two of the great privileges that an adult Bible class presents us. It is an opportunity to invite others to church and bring them to class where they can attend before service in a more casual setting and meet other Christians. It's also a great place where the members can share specific needs and pray for one another. By the way, when you invite someone to church, morning church has two parts: Sunday school at 9:30 and the morning service at 10:30. Get people in. Okay, they can come there and meet you, and then you can invite to this some folks. They get some coffee. And if you're in a Filipino class, you get a 12-course breakfast. You know how that is. And so, you know, just all those things. Get them there. It's very important. Now the conclusion. I once heard the results of a study that said, and I believe this is probably true, some of us beat this, that the average church member, regardless of the size of their church, knows about 75 people closely. Think about that. By the way, ever had someone come and say, you know, I want to go to a small, this church is too big, I want to go to a smaller church where I know everybody? You're going to know the same amount of people as if you went here. I went to the largest, when I was in college, I went to the largest church in America. They averaged over 20,000 a Sunday. You know how many close friends I had? About 75. Okay. I went to a college of 2,500. Small in college setting, but you know how many people I was close to? About 75. Okay. Now, I knew other people, but we have a group. You know, if you go to a Bible class, there'll be people you'll know a little more. Then you're not just coming to the service and sitting down. You'll see so-and-so, hey, how are you doing? We all need friends. It's very, very important. And so, last thing. In our church, the best way to greet fellow Christians and to be an encouragement and to gain encouragement is through faithful encouragement and participation in an adult Bible class. Now, after we finish each chapter, we ask you to make a commitment, okay? You're the core, you've done this, but when we do this with new people, I will commit to becoming a faithful member, attending member of my adult Bible class. My class is, person that's new here, someone's probably invited you to a class already and contacted you. Try that class. Here's some things you put. I will attend this week's challenges, things to do this week. Attend your Bible class this Sunday. Write down what you learned from the lesson this week, okay? If you're in some of the classes, it won't be much. Just kidding. I have met 5 people in class that have been an encouragement. Name them. And then write down a little testimony. Testimonies help us sometimes. How did you hear about your adult Bible class? But there's no way we can develop friendships with people and have the type of encouraging relationships we're supposed to have if we don't meet people. Okay? It's very important we do that. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for loving us. Thank you for those that are here tonight. I pray you would bless our folks. Lord, help us to be a church that I know we're on the go and we're trying to reach everybody and we're a busy church and we have a lot going on. But Lord, help us to be a loving church, not just loving to the world, to the people we're trying to reach. May we love each other. May we have a spirit of unity. May there be a spirit where we look to encourage and strengthen and help one another and resist the temptation to take the easy route and be critical. Mean-spirited. Be with us, Lord. Bless us till we meet again on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.